Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today's show, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, known as the CRPD, is an international disability treaty modeled after the Americans with Disabilities Act to recognize the rights of people with disabilities worldwide. Last year, the treaty fell just 5 votes short of ratification by the U.S. Congress. Now the U.S. Senate has a second chance to do the right thing and ratify the CRPD. Here to talk with me today about the CPRD and what you can do to help get it passed is the Associate Executive Director Kim Dotson and Self-Advocates of Indiana President Melody Cooper. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Great. Well, it's so wonderful to have you here. This is a new issue for me. So, Kim, let's talk a little bit about what this treaty is and how people can help, really.
Your overview was excellent. Simply put, the CRPD is a national agreement between countries to look out for the rights of people with disabilities, to make sure they have the same rights as everybody without a disability. Mm. The only thing I would really add is that it's a international treaty. It is a non-self-executing treaty, which I think is really important.
Okay, which is what?
Because it makes sure that it doesn't surpass any United States laws that we already have. And so it doesn't really have a fiscal impact, nor does it bind the United States to anything that it's not already doing. And so that has been one of the things that it's received a lot of criticism on, because people were worried that it would kind of trump U.S. laws, and that's just simply not correct. So I think that's an important distinction to put. Most treaties are non-self-executing, but this one in particular, because of all the press that it's getting, is just important to note that it is non-self-executing, which again just means that it changes no current U.S. laws.
And so with that said then, the fact that it doesn't change laws, is that why it fell and didn't pass last year?
I wish that was the only reason, because that's a lot easier to take care of. No, but I do think that that is one of the things that has led to a lot of the confusion about the treaty. A lot of people are wondering, why do we need the treaty if it doesn't change anything?
Right.
And an important answer to that is the United States has been seen as a global leader on the rights of people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So we really feel like it is very important for the United States to ratify the treaty. And just make sure that we are at the table as future laws and policies are put together.
Now talk a little bit about ratification. What does that mean?
Ratification is simply a supermajority vote in the United States Senate.
Okay.
So we have 100 senators, and so that means 65 people need to vote in support of the ratification.
Okay. And and what does it cover as far as, you know, what is it used for? As far as people with disabilities, is it school? Is it work? Is it
all of the above? It, again, really just make sure that people with disabilities have the same rights and protections of everybody without a disability. It certainly does help those students who are traveling abroad, because right now it really limits people who are traveling abroad for those countries who don't have the same protections and policies that the United States does for people with disabilities. So we don't have as many students with disabilities being able to travel abroad. The same with just travelers. Travelers with disabilities aren't able to travel to the places that they want to around the globe and have those same protections and rights that other people do.
Melody, let's talk a little bit about what Kim was talking about, that, you know, you can't, you know, you're wanting to travel, you're wanting to do things in your life as a person with a disability, and you and I have talked a lot about that as well, dreaming big and doing things your own way. How, as a self-advocate, why is this important for you?
Michelle, like Kim said, your opening was very good, but it is... This is very important. It should be important to anyone, because a person with a disability, if they can't travel or have the kind of life that they want, then what kind of life do you have?
Right.
I mean, if I'm a person with a disability and all I do is get up every morning, go to a workshop that I don't like, work at a job that I don't care for,
right,
get... what, maybe $30 of a paycheck. and go home and just sit there today and just look. Don't go shopping. Don't do no kind of vacation. Don't do no kind of life at all. What is that? What did that say about not just me, anyone, but the idea of being able to get up and go on a plane or go shopping or just go out to eat, go to the movies on a Saturday evening or go to a dance, that's fun to me. And it should be exciting to anybody, anyone.
So let's talk a little bit about where senators stand. Senator Donnelly and Senator Coates stand on this bill, but where do they stand?
Okay, let's start with Senator Donnelly first. Senator Donnelly, at the time of the ratification in early December last year, he had been elected to Senate, but he was not yet sworn in. So he did not vote in December. And we have been in conversations with his office since then this year, and he is in support of the treaty. So he will have an opportunity to hopefully vote to ratify the treaty later on this summer. Senator Coates voted against ratification of the treaty in December. So he was one of the five who kind of put us over the edge of not getting the supermajority vote that we needed. We have met with Senator Coates' office twice, once in Washington, D.C. with our National Public Policy Disability Conference, which Melody was in on that meeting. And then once we met with him with some other groups from the state of Indiana in his office, and that just happened about 6 weeks ago.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about then how do you present this bill that fell last year and say, you know, this needs to be passed. How will people see it differently now? How do you show them that it's different than it was last year?
When we met with Senator Coates' office, they gave three reasons that they felt like the reason why he voted against it. The first was it was a lame duck session in December of 2012, and that's true. And I really do understand his point of a lame duck session usually is not the best time to do a ratification of a national treaty that is going to go on for perpetuity. So I think that's important. So that part has been taken care of because now we are in Congress. The other two issues, though, he had some questions around the homeschooling aspect of the treaty, and then also the pro-life aspect of the treaty.
So let's talk a little bit about the homeschooling, because I was homeschooled years ago. But why the issue with pro-life and homeschooling? Right. Explain.
The article around school is really to say that people with disabilities have a right to a free and appropriate public education in any setting at all. And so by the use of the word public, I think there's concern that means that it no longer allows those same protections in homeschools and that it doesn't give the rights to parents to choose to homeschool their children. And that is absolutely not the intent of the treaty. The treaty is to empower parents to choose the appropriate setting for their child, choose that setting, and then have that child, you know, have all the resources available to them in that setting for their education. So it does nothing to prevent homeschooling as an option for people with disabilities. The right to life issue, again, the article that pertains to health in the treaty, again, just make sure that everybody with a disability has the same health protections and rights of people without disabilities. If your country allows abortions, allows access to family planning, then that same protections and those same rights are given to you as a person with a disability as it's given to somebody without a disability. The terminology of abortion, family planning, and all of that is not included in the treaty at all whatsoever. It talks of it under the great scope of health care. And then it is those right to life folks that are, again, misconstruing and taking the language a little bit further than what it really needs to be taken.
But now we need to get it passed. So how do people pass it? How do people help?
I think we really need to create public awareness of the treaty because I don't think that the general public even realizes what's going on and really understands the importance of the treaty. So that's problem number one. We have decided to work with some of the pro-life organizations to say, you know, where are you on the treaty? Because as of right now, of the over 500 organizations that support the treaty. There are pro-life and pro-choice organizations that are on that. So there seems to be some misunderstanding, again, just between some of the groups. And so working with them to say, you know, help us explain things better. Mm-hmm. You know, help us, you know, either rewrite some of the memos of understanding so that we can, you know, get rid of some of this opposition that just seems to be misplaced. So we're trying to do more outreach to other organizations to, again, help get Senator Coates and Senator Donnelly the information they need to support the ratification.
Melinda, she talks about outreach. So what is your view of outreach and this treaty? Where do you stand? Where do you see it going? What do you want to happen?
Michelle, I want to see it be passed. Sure. For all people, not just people like me with a disability, but all people.
Do you find yourself, and Kim, you and I have talked about it before, but honestly, you see all the benefits. There are some things that could cause problems. You were talking about that. But when you look at it on paper and you present it to these senators, they should want to do this. Why is there hesitation? I always ask that, and I feel like a broken record, but I want to know. You know, you see it, you see the benefits, you should want to jump on the bandwagon, but there's hesitation. Why?
Right. I really think that they're receiving a lot of calls and emails from people who are opposed to it because of the misunderstandings of some of the wordings, which I think is just a misconstruing some of the terminology.
Yeah. Why?
I think the opposition is really organized.
Yeah.
And so I think they are really getting the word out to their senators about why they misunderstand or they see the language and the things that they are supportive of and they don't feel like that the treaty adequately addresses those.
Yeah.
So I really do think that they are well organized and being very active and contacting their legislators. Quite honestly, I think when the ratification was defeated in December, I don't think that those of us who are strong proponents of the treaty ever anticipated that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it even was a thought in our mind that the ratification would not pass. Just because the United States has the Americans with Disabilities Act, we are seen as the global leader. We know that the treaty is based on the Americans with Disabilities Act. Mm-hmm. I think we took all of that for granted. And I think when the opposition came out and got organized, it was too late for us to react.
Yeah.
And so I think it's in our best interest now that, you know, now that we have that experience, that we have been, I would say probably not as vocal and mobilized as I think we need to be, because I am still concerned about the ratification that's going to take place later on this summer. But I do think that we are doing a lot to make sure that we, you know, get the support of those five senators that we need moving forward. And again, I think it goes back to, you know, some complete misunderstandings of some of the articles within the treaty and what it truly stands for. And so I think we definitely have our work cut out for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not backing down. Indiana is seen as a leader in the United States on bills and policies for people with disabilities. And I think it's the arc of Indiana's mission to make sure that we deliver the support of our two senators. And so us, as along with the self-advocates of Indiana, are working very hard to make sure that we deliver Senator Coates' yes vote. Once we have a hearing scheduled, which we will hopefully have a hearing in August with the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Senate, once we have a date set, then we will be very, very active in making sure that he is getting daily contacts from people who are asking for his support. And so we're trying to get organized to do that now.
Okay, so we've talked about all the facts and figures. So in the end of the day, you're done. You've done your jobs. What do you want? What's the goal?
The goal is to get the treaty ratified by the United States Senate. And for the ARC of Indiana specifically, it's to deliver the two senators' votes in support of the ratification when that takes place later this summer.
Mel, as far as people with disabilities, what's your goal?
To have a pass and to know that people with disabilities can still do the same things that anyone else can do.
You guys, you know, I've worked with you for over 3.5 years, and we have constantly had these conversations. I am unbelievably happy to work with both of you. Thank you so much for your work with people with disabilities, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you so much.
And for more info, go to the Arc of Indiana's website, www.arcind, for more information on the CRPD and how to support it. I want to thank my guests today, and I want to thank you for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.